John Daly here. You know what day it is?
Neither do I.
I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
This is CBS, I am the world. I'm John Batchelor. Russia under severe sanctions, and what is to be done? I read from a Bloomberg report. Russia is resorting to a number of murky practices to sell a lesser-known oil product to buyers wary of breaching sanctions, also to beat the financial cap. Sellers of Russian naphtha, which is primarily used to make plastics and petrochemicals, are facing more hurdles getting the product to market since sanctions took effect in February. That's led to measures such as the fuel being labeled as gasoline. Oh, well, that'll fool people. Or cargoes leaving ports without a destination. That'll fool people. I welcome Michael Bernstab, who's been my guide on first the collapse of the Russian economy and then the sanctions regime and how they'll change the way trading is done in Asia and your Asia. I just gave you two examples. Let's call it gasoline. Or let's say we don't know where it's going, so they can't sanction us because we had no intention of violating your rules. Michael, a very good evening to you. These ideas of changing the label seem cartoonish, but they are underway right now. There's also a debate, a constant debate, about whether any of the sanctions have been successful in depriving the Russians of their advantages these years. I note that the debate is serious from the major players who are watching. Everybody has a different expectation of how the Russians will do right now, how their economy is doing right now, how it will do in future. I've sent you some of those expectations. They range from -2.5% to -3%, -0.3%. JP Morgan, 1%. This is the world's top forecasters compiled by the Wall Street Journal. Russia's real GDP in 2023 will be, JP Morgan says 1, International Monetary Fund says 0.7, World Bank says -0.2, Morgan Stanley says -0.6, Bank of Russia itself says -1.1, and Goldman Sachs says -1.3, and then the OECD, the tough guys, -2.5. This is quite a guessing game, Michael, so I don't ask you to solve it. I do ask you to help me understand why they can't get together on what it does to the Russian economy. And you guide me to currency, the fiat currencies. How does it work? Good evening to you, Michael.
Good evening to you. Let's take them one by one. Naphtha is indeed similar to gasoline, you can rename it, because anyone who have ever seen the lighter, the cigarette lighter, knows what is naphtha. Naphtha is inside. It's little fuel. It's cheap fuel. So it is mostly used for varnishes and for plastics. But it is a big deal because Russia used to, in 2021, before the sanctions, used to export 500,000 barrels a day of this stuff, naphtha. So if you think of the global oil market with all crude oil and all refined products, it's now 101 million barrels a day. So 0.5 of 1% of the global market. It's a big deal. It's a lot. So now they have trouble selling it, but the world needs it. And now, of course, like you described, there are lots of tricks. And one of them is to use reloading ships, seaborne oil and oil products from one ship to another, changing labels, changing countries of origin, changing blends like they use Kazakhstan oil and mix it with Russian oil. So now, by the latest estimate, 472,000 barrels a day are floating somewhere in the world ocean. Again, it's 0.5% of all global supply with, quote unquote, destination unknown. End of quote, destination unknown. 0.5% of the global oil supply. They go to the port of Ceuta in Morocco, which is a Spanish territory. They reload, they go around the African Horn, they go through the Suez Canal. But All experts are saying that eventually it ends up in India. India builds new recoveries, India builds new refineries, and India resells this oil. So destination unknown is India.
That is NAFTA. Now we move to the...
No, NAFTA and crude oil and everything that has no official destination, but eventually it ends up in India and it reaches the world market. That's the most important. The world market and the oil prices in the world do not suffer.
And is that why there is such diversion in guesses? Because you just painted a circuitous story. It's something like a melodrama to sell one barrel of NAFTA. That's why the experts are not agreeing on what this does to Russia's economy?
With the Russian economy, there are several issues because there is one thing is production, another thing is the budget, how much revenue they receive. Because the idea of the sanctions was not to hurt the world consumer, not to hurt the poor, not to hurt the United States, Western countries which need all this oil. And so the idea of the sanctions was to reduce the price, but not to restrict the supply of oil and oil products from Russia. And it worked because now with the price caps, Russia is selling this oil at discount, much lower discount than initially was thought of, but still $12 to $15 per barrel discount to China, India, Turkey. These are the three major countries of destination. And at the same time, the oil which comes to the world market, and the world market needs 101 million barrels a day, the oil is there. The oil products are there, refined products are there, refineries are working, and people are making money. But Russia is suffering because Russia now has a huge budget deficit, and they've already spent, because they do not receive with this discount official tax revenues. They've already spent in the first quarter of 2023, we have the data, they're already running 1.5% of GDP of the entire year. So this means that if this trend continues, they will have 6% of GDP in their budget deficit. This is huge, and they cannot finance the war.
The ruble has collapsed recently from $1 for 50 rubles to $1 for 82 rubles. Is this because of the way they're selling oil?
It is because of the way they are selling oil and oil products, because everyone was happy that the Russians were somehow changing routes for their oil, but the oil comes to the world market. So not a drop of oil, or almost not a drop of oil, is lost for the world consumers, world industries, fine. But it goes now mainly to China and India, and the Russians boasted, not very smartly, that they're doing bilateral trade because they hate the dollar. They said, who needs the dollar? We won't use the dollar. We will receive our revenues in Chinese renminbi and in Indian rupees. The problem is you cannot buy much in the world for that, and you cannot finance the budget for that. And therefore, since in Russia, people make their savings in dollars and euros, and because Russian importers need dollars and euros, and the demand is for dollars and euros to buy imports from Europe and from the United States, this means that the ruble suffers because all these rupees and renminbis are just, they print money. India prints money and China prints money and they get oil for that. But the Russians cannot use it. And therefore the dollar falls and, the ruble falls, the dollar goes up, the euro goes up, and it's a very thin market, and even small shortages create this problem that it is a 37% devaluation in a few months. It's a huge devaluation of the value of the ruble.
Final 30 seconds. Will this accelerate the devaluation, or is this a blow-off?
It may accelerate if the things continue the same way they are, because the budget deficit accelerates, and the fall of the ruble accelerates, and the revenues are falling.
Michael Bernstam of the Hoover Institution, my guide on the sanctions regime and the Russian economy, the second year of the war. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Moto Casino, America.
a social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.